Station, a civic media station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. All 80 people aboard a Delta flight that crashed and flipped over as it landed in Toronto escaped with their lives, among them Pete Carlson.
All of a sudden, everything just kind of went sideways. And then next thing I know is kind of a blink and I'm upside down, still strapped in.
18 were injured. Investigators are still trying to pin down the cause. CBS's Chris Mavridis is in Toronto.
While the airport fire department insisted there was no ice on the runway and no crosswind event, it's going to take an examination of the flight data to know for sure. At the time of the crash, it was clear, but with the wind gusting to over 60 miles an hour and blowing snow onto the tarmac, it may have been too much for the 100-foot-long plane.
The U.S. and Russia, led by Secretary of State Rubio and the Kremlin's Sergei Lavrov, have begun meetings in Riyadh on ending the war in Ukraine without Ukraine at the table. The BBC's Steve Rosenberg says Russia must be thrilled.
You have U.S.-Russian talks, the first high-level in-person talks between the two countries since 2021, I think. You know, isolation, what isolation?
Israeli forces withdrew from border villages in southern Lebanon today as per terms of a U.S.-brokered ceasefire agreement that ended the latest Israel-Hezbollah war. Reporter Miriam Hirschlag from Tel Aviv.
While the Israeli army says it will abide by the truce that ended the fighting in November, it insists on holding on to five military posts. The sites are within Lebanese territory and in close shooting distance to Israeli frontier towns.
12 people now confirmed dead in Kentucky after weekend storms that triggered severe flooding. And there's a snowstorm on the way tonight. CBS's Nicole Valdez is tracking the recovery effort.
Among the dead, a mother and her 7-year-old daughter swept away in Bonnyville. The Hart County coroner tells CBS News that flash flooding flipped the car, trapping the two inside.
Temperatures in Kentucky aren't expected to get much above freezing today. Thousands of federal workers have been dismissed since President Trump took office. Latest targets? The Federal Aviation Administration and the IRS. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
We don't have complete information at this point about how many people were fired and what their roles were, which makes it very difficult to understand exactly what the impact will be.
The Vatican has just canceled Pope Francis events for this coming weekend. The 88-year-old pontiff is still hospitalized, receiving treatment for a complex case of bronchitis. He was admitted last Friday after he struggled for days to read his texts in public. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Coast Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. It's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players' and coaches' contracts. Baseball. Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortes is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, you know, so many years in another organization, Gold Glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want. So I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortes with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes Marvel movies are review-proof, such is the case with Captain America: Brave New World, which was number one at the box office this past weekend. Despite mediocre reviews, the franchise flick pulled in $192 million at the worldwide box office to lead the way. Theater owners in the U.S. were particularly happy, as the fourth Captain America film brought in about $100 million domestically. Not bad for February. The other big film opening this weekend was Paddington in Peru. The third installment in the popular Paddington franchise finished in second
second place, bringing in $13 million at the box office. Paddington will probably find a bigger audience when it goes to streaming and VOD. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes took in about $10 million in its second weekend to finish in third place, and it was Mufasa the Lion King holding steady in fifth place during its ninth week of release with $4.2 million. Starting to think I'm the only person that hasn't seen this movie. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near zero, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Currently, 12 below.
Dom Salvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, February 18th, 2025. 4 days until the Brewers' first spring training game, 37 days till the season opener. And it's another beautiful, cold morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or on the app, watching us on social media or on demand by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. If you're Sean Duffy, and I can already hear the crowd out there. Okay, I'll try again. If you're Sean Duffy, and as Transportation Secretary, there have already been four significant airplane crashes in your first 4 weeks at the helm. Is it really the best course of action to be picking a fight online with Hillary Clinton? Is that really the best use of your time? Especially as you're now welcoming in people from Elon Musk's minions to poke around and do God knows what to our safety systems in the tower. Just something to think about to get the day started here. On this Tuesday morning, we'll talk a bit about that. We'll have Brittany Merlot's cold, cold forecast coming up in just a moment here as well. We'll also talk about how the world's richest man, who has been taking a wrecking ball to American stability, is now using his checkbook in an effort to buy the Wisconsin Supreme Court for the far right in the spring election. We'll have details on that new effort, even as voters are taking to the polls today for primary elections in other races, including state superintendent of public instruction. In our second hour, we will talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser, and we'll talk about federal spending. Now, look, it's really easy to attack federal spending because there's so many ways that taxpayers make a difference and improve our nation, but maybe in ways that don't directly benefit you. Let me give you an example, and this is where Hans comes in. It's easy to criticize the federal government for sometimes paying farmers not to grow crops on some land. I mean, if you're not familiar with farming, that sounds like an easy setup for a joke, right? But then you learn that that is to help prevent fertilizer runoff or polluted streams or loss of topsoil. Suddenly it makes more sense. Wisconsin farmers have been signing up for those payments so that they have healthy water, healthy land. Now they're learning they're going to miss out on tens of thousands of dollars this year that they were counting on as income for their farm because Elon Musk is just willy-nilly canceling contracts. Can he even do that? We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about that and why overall it's just short-sighted to criticize spending if you don't know the whole story. So we've got that, Chad Holmes, and more coming up along the way. And, of course, you can find us here always by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Or you can put a comment in the comment section of Facebook, as Mary does here as well. So thank you very much for talking about that. Mary talks about the set-aside program for farmers, and we appreciate that. You can also email the show, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. From Brittany Merlone, we'll hear from her in an hour, but she writes that an extreme cold warning is in effect for northwest and north central parts of the state until 10 o'clock this morning for wind chills of 25 to 35 below zero. A cold weather advisory blankets the rest of the state for wind chills of minus 15 to minus 25. It is some of the coldest temperatures of the season, but then a big warm-up is heading our way for next week. So here's Brittany's state forecast for this morning. Mostly sunny statewide, but frigid. Single digits for high temperatures statewide today with a northwest wind at 10 to 15. Partly cloudy tonight, still very cold. Lows of 10 below in the north, 5 below in the south, and a northwest wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Temperatures right now, I'd normally say at the bus stop, but pretty much every school district around our part of the state is closed because of the cold weather. Here on Lake Wissota, it's 15 below right now. In Hayward, it's 27 below zero. Amory is 19 below. Wausau, 13 below. Wisconsin Rapids, you're at 19 below zero. La Crosse, minus 14. Green Bay, minus 11. Madison's at 10 below. Milwaukee's at 7 below. And it's also 7 below at Radio Park in Racine, where we welcome in one Greg Bach, who is properly layered today, as you really need to be if you're heading out the door at all. And I don't just mean the layer of the beard and the glasses, but there's a T-shirt and a zip-up. Is that a hoodie? Okay, got the hoodie working as well.
Got the hoodie always.
Oh, yeah, guys, I see the strings.
Okay. Rock and roll in a hoodie. I always wear a hoodie. I'm a hoodie fan.
When hoodies were first more of the fashion accessory they are now. They were pretty basic. You know, remember there was just basically gym sweats, mm-hmm. and somebody thought to attach a hood. You know, Bill Belichick, the football coach, made them look so sexy.
Yeah, especially the ones that were like they were eaten by rats.
And he'd cut the sleeves off of them. And then they got looking better, and I've got almost a half a dozen now that I really enjoy. And when you're like when I was moving snow the other day, it's not that I don't have a hat. I've got a hat, but having that hoodie is just really nice because you work up a sweat when you're out shoveling and pushing snow and everything. And the hoodie is just the right thing to have under that jacket.
I think if I had to go through the entire house and find all the hoodies, I'd probably be up around 50.
Wow.
And 50. They're of varying sizes, Pat, so some of them do not get worn anymore.
Oh,
I understand. Or some of them have been commandeered by Bridget, never to be worn by me again. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's a hoodie is a necessary part of my wardrobe.
Oh, yeah. And for anybody today venturing out, just, again, make sure you don't forget anything that could protect your ears or your hands.
Yes.
You don't want to take a chance today with this kind of cold weather, which I'm ready to be done with now.
Me too. I'm over when it's 10 below zero in Racine. I can only imagine. Well, now you've told me, but what it's like in the mid and northern parts of the state.
Yes. And that's what, thankfully, he's put in quotation marks, the wind is at 10 to 15 miles an hour. It's not one of those days where it's howling at, 20 plus, like it was in Toronto yesterday when that small plane tried to land coming from the Twin Cities. Yeah. And again, we're speculating out loud. I want to make that clear. But they said that, it was a gust, it was gusty winds out there at like 20 to 30 miles an hour. And it probably would not take much on an icy runway for a gust of wind to tip that wing just enough to scrape the runway, and then you go spinning. But the safety measures I heard them talking about compared to how airplanes used to be built, like there are these breakaway bolts now so that the wings actually come off by design instead of slicing through the fuselage, and things like that. The seats are built better so that they don't, fly off the frame, and
that's how everybody lived. Everybody, you look at that thing and you go, how? How did people walk away? And you realize they're building these things better than ever. So why not have Sean Duffy and Elon Musk in charge of airline safety moving forward? I feel perfectly safe.
The road rules guys and the rocket to Mars guy. All right.
Exploding rocket guy.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong? And in the midst of all that is Sean Duffy putting out a tweet about welcoming Elon Musk and his Doge team of young minions who are going to work on the airline system. And, you know, Hillary Clinton aptly notes that a lot of these people that Musk is bringing in, that they're not old enough to rent a car, you know, much less. I mean, legally cannot rent a car.
Hillary, and, chop, chop, chop. Yeah, get him.
And, of course, that was such a triggering thing to the Secretary of Transportation that he had to take time on that rather than, you know, the very serious work that we are expecting him to be doing right now. But good luck. That's all I got to say about that. I'm not saying that to anybody other than current FAA employees and anybody who's traveling moving forward. And I will still continue to travel, just not with the confidence that I used to have. So here's.
Can I call the road rule guy and ask him how the air is today? Because I'm scared.
Perhaps I should move on to other matters. Wait a minute. Here's one. The acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration has stepped down because of the Elon Musk team requesting access to Social Security recipient information. The acting commissioner, Michelle King, is leaving the agency with more than 30 years of service after she refused to provide Musk's Doge staffers with the access to sensitive information. Look, first off, I still have a problem with newsrooms, starting with the AP, because this is an AP story I'm looking at right now. When you just simply put out there without quotation marks or explanation, when you talk about Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, okay, not a department. It's not a real thing. You know, it's not a cabinet level agency. It is a how would you describe a rogue task force? You know, it's a gang.
Yeah.
It's a nerd gang.
Yeah, you know? It really is. It's just a gaggle of dudes who the president likes. I mean, yes, they have an official website. That's it.
Yeah. And you're giving them more credibility than I think you would. Again, I say this all the time. If just imagine how you would treat it with somebody else in there not named Donald Trump. If you had, you know, a Hillary Clinton, a Barack Obama, a Joe Biden, but even a George H.W. Bush or somebody saying they're creating a department and just letting it go through agencies like a virus, you know, firing the people who, like, I don't know, safeguard our nuclear weapons and things like that. I mean, you'd be all over that saying, who are these people? Under what authority? And instead, are too many of our newsrooms these days just calmly report, oh, the Department of Government Efficiency is here. That's not a real thing.
No.
It's not a thing.
No.
And we're all saying, well, you know, it just is what it is. We're going to find out way too late.
No, I refuse to accept it is what it is. It should be unelected man and his gang of nerd goons. And it's just you're absolutely right. I completely agree with you. And the more I think about the way the press handles these stories, the more angry. And the right is mad at the AP for some reason. It's just insanity.
Because they won't say Gulf of America.
Oh, that's right. Because that's important.
Because that's where they're picking their fight. Well, let's break this down to a more of a Wisconsin level. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about Elon Musk now wanting to use his checkbook for the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. That's coming up next. You're up north.
A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK.
540 WAUK with This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast.
Hi, this is Downtown Donnie Brown. On This Week in Waukesha, my guest is Megan Locke, candidate for 14th District Alder, taking on incumbent Rick Lempke. Join us for this fruitful conversation on the big issues facing Waukesha City politics. It's not just taxes. We'll see you on civicmedia.us/shows.
This Week in Waukesha, now a weekly podcast from 540 WAUK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In September 2024, Arizona Secretary of State Adrian Fontes announced an error in state voter rolls involving 97,000 voters, revolving around a state DMV data error. The number has risen to nearly 200,000, and an easy fix still hasn't been found. In 1996, Arizona began requiring proof of citizenship when obtaining a driver's license. Since 2005, election officials have asked registered voters with licenses issued before 1996 for proof of citizenship. But if a driver's license issued before 1996 needed to be replaced, it was accidentally given a new date of issue, and election officials never knew to ask for citizenship documents. VoteBeat Arizona and the Arizona Mirror report that the investigation is ongoing, but that the number affected has now ballooned to 200,000 voters. The Arizona Supreme Court allowed affected voters to vote in November's election, but now the legislature is considering an emergency measure, House Bill 2038, directing election officials to contact the voters and request citizenship documents. If not supplied within 35 days, the voter's status would change to not registered, though voters could reactivate their registration by providing documentation right up to Election Day. After the 2026 general election, those voters would be dropped. We have text of the bill and VoteBeat's reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Kind of a drag when your baby don't love you. A little bit of spillover for today's history lesson coming up in a half hour here on Up North News Radio. The Buckinghams, Kind of a Drag, hit number one on This Week in 1967. So just about, 58 years ago was the number one song for 2 weeks. More coming up in 30 minutes here on this Tuesday morning, February 18th. It is Election Day. Get out and vote. Polls will be open at 7 o'clock and will close at 8 o'clock. Let's do a little sports first before we get back to political news. Just a couple of quick notes that the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team hosts Illinois tonight. Coverage begins at 6:30 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. The Badger men are ranked 16th in the country, the Marquette men 18th ranked, and they are hosting Seton Hall tonight. Again, for the election, head over to myvote.wi.gov if you'd like to learn more about voting. And that includes the Department of Public Instruction state superintendent race. There are three candidates, and only the top two that get votes today will advance to the April 1st election. And so we have interviewed the candidates here. There's been ample coverage. You can find more over at upnorthnewswi.com and civicmedia.us to learn more. Cast the vote, because again, this is going to be a very important seat that will be decided on April 1st, along with the state Supreme Court race that will be run between Susan Crawford, a Dane County judge, and Brad Schimmel, the Waukesha County judge and former Republican Attorney General. And that takes us back to Elon Musk, the world's richest man. By the way, when we say that, how much is he worth? Just take a guess. Do you have any idea how much Elon Musk is actually worth as of today? Let me give you a little history. In 1987, so 38 years ago now, is when Forbes started its first list of the world's wealthiest individuals. And they found at that time 140 billionaires, including 44 billionaires here in the U.S. 38 years ago. The wealthiest folks on that list had amassed something north of $10 billion in total worth. Today, Elon Musk in his personal piggy bank has $400 billion. He has Tesla. He has what used to be Twitter. He has SpaceX. He now has the keys to the White House. And now he'd like to add the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Of course, it's not like most folks will even notice because, look, if you had things your way, wouldn't you think that if Elon Musk wants to run $750,000 in ads for our Supreme Court race, you'd maybe see him on camera or at least a a note at the bottom saying these ads supporting Brad Schimmel are paid for by Elon Musk, or these ads supporting Brad Schimmel are paid for by a guy who's got $400 billion lying around. But no. Starting Thursday, what folks will see are ads run by a group called Building America's Future. And then, of course, there's another familiar billionaire who's jumping into the Supreme Court race to prop up Schimmel. That, of course, would be Dick Ehlein, through a PAC, again, with another one of those generic names, Fair Courts America. So when you see Fair Courts America and Building America's Future, and you see the attack ads against Susan Crawford, you'll understand that they're there to get Brad Schimmel elected. This is all because of an awful U.S. Supreme Court ruling in 1976 called Buckley versus Valeo. And that law equates money with free speech, figuring you and I should have the freedom to spend whatever money we want if we want to make political speech through TV ads and other contributions. Well, how many billionaires were there in the U.S. in 1976 when the court decided that case? The answer is one. Now, it's pretty fair to say that the justices at that time couldn't conceive of a time when in this country right now there are 800 billionaires, including one worth $400 billion, who could help a fellow rich guy win the White House, support far-right, anti-democracy political parties around the world, and now is planning to buy a state Supreme Court seat that would eviscerate the kinds of laws that protect you and me and all of us from predatory billionaires, that thing we used to call an aristocracy. It's funny how these words just don't seem to resonate beyond the history books anymore. Aristocracy, kleptocracy, oligarchy. It's like the world's wealthy and powerful figured out at some point that as long as they don't look like old oil paintings of robber barons with big bushy mustaches, folks will look at Elon Musk and say, oh, he's just like one of us. He just has more money. No. Like the robber barons of old, Elon Musk is jumping into the state Supreme Court race seeking the same kinds of things we saw with the Gettys, the Rockefellers, the Morgans, the Astors, the Mellons, the Vanderbilts. They want more power. They want the power that you should have as a voter and as a consumer. They want to take land whenever they want it. They want to be able to pollute land and water. They want to hire yes men and fire good people for the crime of being honest. The super wealthy power seekers then and now, they want to limit your consumer choices, your job choices, your ballot choices. They want to limit your ability to get financially comfortable so that you have to rely on the wages where they set them. Rely on their charity to fund schools. Rely on their employment, their products, and even their candidates. The Elon Musks of today can throw unlimited money into elections like the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and they don't have to make it clear that they're the ones running the ads. So it's up to the rest of us to tell you about it. Being a voter is harder than ever, which is odd considering there's more quote-unquote information out there than ever, but so much of it is wrong or misleading or just an outright lie. And that's by design. The far right wants voters to toss up their hands and simply not vote. And then they figure if they can fool enough of the others and motivate them to vote for something like law and order, they'll win, even though the law and order they seek has less to do with you and much more with protecting their power. So that's today's civics lesson. Know who's paying for those political ads and why they're spending so much money. The world's richest guy probably isn't looking out for you when he's buying political ads up north. When we come back, we're going to talk to Christina Lori. She's our community editor here at Up North News, puts together our daily newsletter. Get it at upnorthnewswi.com. And we're going to talk about the difference in values, Wisconsin values versus D.C. values. That's on Up North News Radio from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Agriculture education was in the spotlight yesterday at the state capitol. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a frigid Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Now, bear in mind, today we've got a state primary, three candidates on the ballot that would like to be our state superintendent of public instruction. Agriculture educators from across the state were at the state capitol yesterday, focused in on $60 million in the biennial state budget for career and technical education programs at public schools. Current state superintendent Jill Underley says that Wisconsin is one of six states that right now does not have ongoing funding dedicated to career and technical education programs. She wants to see that change.
Yeah, one of the other pieces is to pay for the advisor in our schools. So pay their stipend so that they can, you know, enjoy additional monetary benefit for their time to recruit students into the organization, to pay for, you know, their activities. So, because, you know, when you're an FFA advisor, I mean, you're not in your school all the time. You're traveling, you're driving kids to events, you're going to state convention, you're going to legislative meetings like we are at today. It's a lot of time that these adults give up because they love kids, they love working with kids, and so we want to support them however we can.
Current state superintendent Jill Underley, the $60 million they're requesting in the biennial state budget would not only assist in helping FFA advisors, it would also fund each of the state's six career and technical student organizations. Markets and overnight electronic trade, not much green on the screen. Numbers are next.
When it's time to choose a residual herbicide for your soybeans, you need broad-spectrum weed control that lasts. Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides by BASF give your crop up to two more weeks of residual weed control, providing 50% more control than other Group 15 residuals. The long-lasting herbicide portfolio protects your soybeans from even the toughest weeds while providing a steady growing environment for the entire season. Talk to your retailer today about adding Zidua Pro and Zidua SC herbicides to your 2025 plan. Always read and follow label directions.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword Pam to get a brochure or watch a travel show. This morning in Chicago, the December new crop corn's basically unchanged at 473. November beans are down a nickel at 1047. July wheat down six right now at 619 a bushel as they get back into action after the three-day weekend. And that's a quick snapshot on the markets for a Tuesday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Keeping it cold today with plenty of sunshine, highs near 9 above. Wind chill values between 15 below and 25 below. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows near 0, wind chills down to 15 below. A little milder on Wednesday with a high near 15. Right now, 13 below.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
¶¶
back now with the Uplift on Up North News Radio, which means Christina Lori is here, our community editor, newsletter editor, and a poster of so many positive things that make Wisconsin an awesome place to live in. Christina, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here. Talking a bit about the difference between Washington and Wisconsin, not the state, the D.C. is what I'm talking about here, and a new administration wanting to go in some other directions. And those directions are, here's my big word of the day, antithetical to Wisconsin values. And I think you would agree that that's a good setup in where you want to go with all these differences.
Well, not just Wisconsin values, just values, period. Mm-hmm. And it also seems antithetical to the entire value that Trump ran his second campaign on, make America healthy again, because health starts at the most basic level, getting those Maslow's hierarchy of needs met. And there are many people, it's hard to believe this in 2025, but there are many people who do not have enough food to eat. And especially we see that in our school systems. And one of the areas that Trump is looking to make some extra room in our budgets in is by slashing federal funding for free school meals for children. And for many kids, including 20% of kids in Wisconsin, that might be their only meals that they get on any particular day. So if they're not able to eat at school, then they're not able to focus, and we don't know when we send them home if they're going to eat then either. But I am here, like you prefaced, with some reassuring news, because we're, of course, run by Governor Tony Evers, a former educator, superintendent, principal, state superintendent. There's nothing he loves more than schools and keeping kids safe and fed. So many high schools here, also some middle schools, they have locally funded programs that are free for all students to get free snacks in between classes. It's something so simple, but for example, at Madison East, just down the street from where I live, they have a school market where between any passing period, any student can drop in and they can pick up fruit, some pretzels, some chips, sandwiches, you know, it ranges the type of food that they can grab. But two points to note here. First, this is not federally funded, so this will not be impacted by what Trump does or doesn't do. It's a partnership between the Madison School District and Second Harvest Food Bank, which is a regional food pantry that serves a lot of southern Wisconsin. They do absolutely fantastic work. And the second element here that's so important is that it is free for all students. So we remove any sort of disparities or what's the word I'm looking for?
The stigma.
Stigma, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Stigma of kids, you know, if you're poor, you're probably already self-conscious about that and you don't want to be the lone student going to grab a meal. So that is why it's important. There's going to be people, I've already heard them calling out, why are we paying for rich kids' food? We're paying for kids' food. Kids are not rich. They're not the ones making money in their family. This is all about the children.
Yeah. And you take away that stigma. I remember it well from, you know, needing, you know, free lunches as a kid and the different colored lunch tickets and things like that. But also the administrative paperwork, the processing and all that, that you don't have to worry about anymore if you just feed everybody. Just seems to make sense rather than trying to cut it like some people in Washington want to do. But I will say again that year after year after year, folks in the legislature have tried to pass the Healthy School Meals for All bill. State Representative Francesca Hong was on the show a couple of weeks back talking about it. And I kept thinking, you know, how is this thing voted down? And she said, no. The bill was never given a hearing by the majority party. It was never even allowed for people to come in and talk about the importance of healthy school meals for all kids, much less get a vote or anything like that. So that is still something we can rectify. You know, Governor Evers has been a leader on this. He did cite it specifically in the state of the state. But now we just need some more folks in the Assembly and the Senate to kind of move this thing along and show the difference between our values and the budget slashers in Washington.
Well, of course, they don't want to call it up for a vote because they don't want to be on record saying they voted against children. What kind of morals does that show? And also for anyone who's hiding behind, oh, but it's too expensive, we can cut budgets elsewhere. Children should not be the first thing on the cutting block.
Yeah, I can think of certain high-end tax cuts that might come to mind, you know, if I were going to cut something like that.
While we're talking about food, I thought I'd shift over to egg prices, since you can't, they're just, they're going to be guaranteed in the headlines for the rest of the year. Yep. A lot of that is Trump's own doing, because he campaigned heavily on cutting prices. On day one, we're going to see the price of eggs drop in half. And what have they done? They've already gone up 20%. They're expected to go up 20% more by the end of the year. Now, this story is probably not where you expected me to go with this. I am going to kind of defend Trump in a way, as well as Biden. The president is not responsible for egg prices. We saw Republicans go hard on Joe Biden on this, and now we're seeing some Democrats flip and blame Trump for this. Again, the reverse blame of Democrats at Trump is a little bit warranted, since he campaigned so heavily on being able to do this, which he shouldn't have been able to do. But presidents do not control prices like this. Right. If they could, why would Biden not have already fixed them? He was trying to get a Democrat into the White House. If he had some kind of lever that was so easy, why would he have not lowered prices for you? So keep that in the back of your mind.
Well, we do. Right, right.
But what is, so just factually, what is causing the rise in egg prices was the avian flu. It's killed 17.2 million egg-laying hens in November and December, which is almost the number of hens that are killed by the virus in an entire calendar year, any other year. So that's why it just keeps increasing so quickly. And this is really unprecedented. We've had the flu before, but not to this extent. But I am here with some helpful information, because I like eggs. I love doing breakfast for dinner. Scrambled eggs are a big key component of that for me. And, you know, you can buy the just egg in those cartons, but it's not the same as fresh eggs. So if you're looking for the cheapest eggs here in Wisconsin, Trader Joe's, Aldi, Walmart, and Target's prices are all around 30 cents an egg. And they are expected to stay there just based on the quantity of eggs that those stores purchase. So, you can buy them elsewhere. You could also buy them from your local CSA, a local farmer that you know. They might be a little bit more pricey that way, but you're also supporting your neighbors, and you know you're getting the absolute freshest eggs.
It is, again, an unfortunate thing that a serious crisis pushes people toward more homegrown food. But I recall this back in 2020 as well, that when all the large meatpacking plants had to be shut down because of COVID outbreaks, it forced a lot of people to recognize that there are, you know, meatpacking and other processing, you know, smaller ones, family run, in some cases, you know, around Wisconsin. And the same goes here for eggs as well. Instead of just waiting for the great big, you know, processors to deliver to the grocery store, because I've been to the grocery store recently and I've seen some empty shelves where the eggs used to be. But if you can find a local supplier, you may actually find your new permanent supplier and realize that there's still so much homegrown around Wisconsin that we could be putting on our tables.
Absolutely. And just something else I wanted to bring up to you, because equally challenging to, I've seen the headlines about eggs everywhere, and then the headlines about Donald Trump pulling out of the World Health Organization.
Yes, I want to go to that next, right?
That being the top priority, instead of, you know, he said that prices were number one on his to-do list, but instead on day one, he pulled us out of the World Health Organization. What that did, just to put it in the most basic terms, is that it froze all federal funding to the National Institutes of Health, which does research into cancer and other diseases. And I've seen a lot of Republicans trying to back this up and just say, well, it's just a pause. You know, we're going to assess everything and then, you know, you can judge what happens next. Cancer doesn't pause in people who are fighting it. If you're part of a clinical research trial, you can't just pause the experiment. Has no one ever been in science class before? That's not how it works. Time is of the essence here. And you're really playing around with people's lives. But I am here, as always, with a tiny bit of good news. So research trials that are already underway at Wisconsin hospitals, there are a ton happening at UW Hospital in Madison. Those will and are continuing for now. That's just the key asterisk there, because if the pause continues, this could impact scheduled research trials in the future. But all of the researchers, doctors, medical experts at Wisconsin's hospitals are continuing their trials right now. I just to share a little bit of personal news. I mean, this is just such a personal issue for me because my grandma died of pancreatic cancer. Mm-hmm. It's one of the deadliest cancers in the country. It has less than a 10% 5-year survival rate. And it only recently increased to that number. For a long time, it was less than 5%, which is just, I mean, it's basically a death sentence. And many of the trials that are happening at UW Hospital are related to pancreatic cancer. And they're not long shots. They're not trying to cure the disease because that does seem so far off. Many of these trials are just trying to make the disease more manageable and increase people's longevity, make them more comfortable as they're in their final days. And it's really inhumane that this is what is being targeted. There's no really other way to put it. People don't have the luxury of time when their life is on the line. And Trump is really playing with people's lives right now.
The targets don't make sense. Here's another one. Capping insulin prices. Again, insulin costs so very little to produce, and yet big drug companies for a time were jacking the prices outrageously until President Biden and others caught wind of it and said, we got to do something about this. And you've got President Trump saying, making moves to get rid of that cap. But again, the reality is a little different in Wisconsin, where at least there's some people in the state capitol who would like to set us apart from where Trump wants to take insulin prices.
Exactly. The state lawmakers are trying to set their own state level caps, so we won't have to worry about what's going on in the federal government. But this goes back to the entire thing. I've seen this happen from both sides, and it seems this is like one of those cases where both sides use this argument when it matters most to them, but just goes back to the crux of the issue that medicine should not be big business.
No.
People should not be getting rich off of whether or not they choose to save people's lives. You should morally do the right thing. And it's really frustrating to see our leaders at the highest level not having that happen. But
which is why I'd like to see this insulin cap proposal by legislative Democrats. Again, bring it up for a vote. Let's see where people stand on this.
Exactly. It puts their morals on the line. And speaking of morals, the final thing I wanted to bring up was what's going on with immigration, because this really does come around to a lot of morals. First of all, just to debunk any sort of myth going out there, no Democrat wants a criminal to stay in the United States. That's not what we're arguing.
And it's amazing that we still have to say that out loud, but yet, yes, it did. So we've noted that.
Yes, we've noted that. And also, if you would remember, President Obama was often called the deporter in chief because he deported a record number of immigrants who are criminals. So they are not welcome in America. We obviously want to keep Americans safe. That said, another reason that you might be seeing prices slowly inching up instead of down at the grocery store is because many of America's farm workers are undocumented immigrants. And because of all the threats that the current president is posing, a lot of them are not showing up at work because of fear. Again, not because they don't want to work. They want to work, and they're afraid that if they show up at work, their place of work will be raided and they'll be sent back home to an unsafe place. Now, these are people that are the absolute hardest workers in America. They are paying taxes on their wages, and because they're undocumented, they're never going to get any of the benefits from those taxes. They're not going to be able to collect Social Security someday like all of us. And they've probably going to have worked a lot harder physically than us within their lifetime. Right. They're also doing a crucial service that a lot of U.S. born people do not want to do. So they deserve our respect.
They do. And by their departures, again, it's not just something that you'll feel in our food supply, but fiscally as well. Christina Laurie, community editor. Get the newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com that she puts together. Click subscribe in the top banner. Thank you, Christina. Have a great day.
Thank you, Pat.
We'll be back in just a moment. You're up.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. Ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it. From pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
USA Today's Reader's Choice Awards named Chula Vista one of America's top 10 indoor water parks. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
Secret, secret. No, this is no secret. It's Dennis DeYoung's birthday. He is 78 years old today, born in Chicago. The Styx co-founder wrote and sang seven of their top 10 hits, including Mr. Roboto there, along with Babe, Show Me the Way, The Best of Times, Don't Let It End, Lady, Come Sail Away, all from Dennis DeYoung, born this day. Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander, joins us as well. Mr. Hagen, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. One time my dad went to a Styx concert and he was yelling, Dennis, Dennis. Dennis looked at him and went like this.
With the two thumbs up?
Nice. All right.
Wow. Hey, you are properly attired for the weather here, for the ridiculously cold temperatures, but also for an upcoming event.
That's right. The American Birkebeiner is coming up on Saturday, the 51st one. I will be competing, aiming for my 11th Birkebeiner. My dad is aiming for his 28th. He's beat me every single time, so this could be my year. We'll see.
Well, not this time. Not this time.
I got $50 on it.
Yeah, you can bet on anything now. It's crazy. I got an app that says, sure enough, old man Hagen, he's going down this year. Yeah.
Well, it's baby boomer versus millennials this year.
Hagen, he's younger than me, isn't he? How old is your dad?
He's born in 58.
Oh, okay. So he's just a little bit older, but still. Making it sound like he's going to be competing in a wheelchair with skis on it. No,
if you met the guy, he will be doing that someday.
Let's see. Let's go with more of today's history. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain was published this day in 1885. The late director John Hughes was born this day in 1950. So many movies, including The Breakfast Club.
Hey, 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 hey.
Wow.
Well, Dan knows it. All right,
Dan's got the fist raised just like at the end of the movie there. He was the director, producer, and or writer of The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Weird Science, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He also wrote Mr. Mom, Pretty in Pink, National Lampoon's Vacation, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, and more. And was lost way too soon back in 2009, but I mean, if you were just going to do a time capsule of the 80s just on John Hughes, you'd get a feel for the 80s and 90s without a doubt, you know. Going way back now in the movies, this day in 1938, Bob Hope was in The Big Broadcast of 1938. That was the name of the movie, a musical, and introduced his signature song, Thanks for the Memory. Birthdays today also include country singer Juice Newton. She is 73 today.
I love this song.
I like Juice Newton.
Love the name.
She had Angel of the Morning, The Sweetest Thing, Break It to Me Gently. She is 73 today. And then there's Yoko Ono. She is 92 years old today.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, this one should have been, I should have had this with John Hughes, talking about The Breakfast Club. Molly Ringwald. Molly Ringwald is 57 today. Again, that's one of those birthdays where some people just close their laptop and walk into the ocean. Like, wait,
Yoko Ono or hers?
No, Yoko Ono's going to live forever for mystical reasons that we'll explain off air. But Molly Ringwald being 57. And Vanna White, 68 years old today. Wow. And still working the show.
Yeah.
So hard to press those letters.
Well, you know, it's at some point. No, you're pointing. You're right. That's all she's going to do. Not bad.
Vanna White, if you're out there, I think what you do is spectacular. You're American treasure, and I don't doubt your talent.
You're making me out to be a villain, Greg. I'm saying is it's a simple task.
You're just saying she's just pointing. So
just lazy. That's it. Vanna White is just... No, she's a national treasure. That's right. And by the way, I'm on her side for all those years of getting... really stiff when it comes to the pay disparity between her and Pat Sajak. That was just wrong. It's why she's still working, and Pat is sitting poolside this morning with his avocado toast. John Travolta is 71 years old today.
Well, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic.
No, it's not. It's not.
Why it's greased lightning?
I love how they are just so perfectly describing my 1973 Plymouth Fury. It was rust. No, I'm sorry. It was green with rust, but it was more rust than green.
I was looking for these clips yesterday for you, and I was watching the video from this, and I'm like, how were we ever scared of the T-Birds? Like. Hey, what a bunch of weirdo dudes who all look a little too old for high school, might I add.
Just a little bit, yeah. Let's see. Actress Sybil Shepherd is 75. Dr. Dre is 60 today.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
See, now Dan's got the head bounce going. Now we're back into his generation. So let's go ripping right out of it, and let's go play the Tennessee Waltz to mark the birthday of... Yeah, this is going to make your head spin. The Tennessee Waltz, because it was co-written by Wisconsin native Pee Wee King.
Yeah, baby!
Yeah, Dr. Dre, do a version of this, huh?
I was dancing...
Pee Wee King was born in Abrams, Wisconsin. He was born Julius Kaczynski, and he co-wrote this hit along with the Joe Stafford hit, You Belong to Me. This is National Drink Wine Day. This is National Battery Day, National Travel Africa Day, and National Pluto Day, because that planet, I said it, was discovered this day in 1930.
You out there, Neil deGrasse Tyson, we starting something with you.
Actually, it's a dwarf planet, Pat.
Well, we've lost Dan today. He's gone forever.
I like how he's pushing up his imaginary nerd glasses as he was doing that. That was perfect. Perfectly placed. And I think this is not a reflection on Dan, but I haven't gotten a comment like this on Facebook for a while. Comment from a place called Mike's Garage. You guys really are as stupid as you seem.
Well, at least we're living up to what you believe we are, so dreams come true.
I think that was just his way of cheering you on, Dan, in the Birkebeiner. So thank you for your time, sir.
All right. Good to see you, Pat. Good to see you, Greg.
All right. Have a great day. Second hour.
A new choice. Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan and veterans advocate and founder of Arizona Warriors, Jason Moon, joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
The
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find...
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
This airplane just crashed at 23. 7105, pull up, go around.
Air traffic controllers in Toronto watching as a Delta jet from Minneapolis flipped upside down as it landed at Pearson International Airport in snowy, windy conditions. All 80 people on board, all wearing seatbelts, got out. 18 were injured. The cause? Under investigation. CBS's Chris Mavridis is in Toronto.
The CJR 900 is a Canadian-made regional workhorse. It's used by a lot of airlines, including Delta and American. In fact, it's the slightly longer version of the CJR 700 that crashed in Washington, D.C. last month. But authorities are being very clear this is just an unfortunate coincidence. And even though it's early, they don't believe there is any connection between the two crashes.
Brutally cold weather is settling in from the Plains states to the south central U.S. CBS Media.